the deep end. People talk a lot, but they don't know. They pretend. They pretend. They don't really know how deep it goes. Now I'm misunderstood.
Welcome to Countless Screaming Argonauts, a podcast of record. Tonight, Max and I are going to introduce a new segment. It's an elongated look at one topic in particular whenever we feel the need or the urge to spend a little more time than the podcast usually gives us. Sound okay, Max?
I think it'll be fun.
Okay. Well, tonight is my topic.
All right.
And I'm going to ask you to give me a couple of minutes to set this up.
Take your time.
Okay.
We'll just edit out the dead air.
all the lousy stuff.
You know, the really good podcasts just right. Don't have any production values at all. They just hit it.
Right. All right. So, as you know, one of my favorite blogs that I read every day is the Freakonomics blog that appears in the New York Times.
You're virtually a freak for Freakonomics.
Right. And every day there are two or three or four different articles, some of them by the original author, some by others, about a lot of different topics. And what I like about it is it gets you to think. So last week there was an article by an Eric Morris, and the title of the article was Life and Death in the Fast Lane.
Mm.
Okay? And what he said was that according to a recent study, the lifting of the federal 55-mile-an-hour speed limit in 1995 has been responsible for over 12,500 deaths in the last 10 years, which is almost double the American fatalities that we've suffered in the 9/11 tragedy, the Iraqi war, and the Afghanistan police action. Okay?
Yeah.
So what he says, he goes on to say, he says basically the problem is that at higher speeds you have to react more quickly, you have less margin for error, extra speed makes the crashes even more deadly. On another side, the higher speeds cost us lower gas mileage, more dependence on foreign oil. Okay? So as I'm reading all of this, it gets me thinking. And I think back to when the government set up the national speed limit. And then I read the comments about this gentleman's article. And the comments is what got me thinking.
Yeah.
So there is one side of the argument that says, why do we even allow manufacturers to make cars that are capable of going over 100 miles an hour when even the accepted speed limit is 55 or 60 or 65, okay? Somebody else wrote and asked, why is 55 some kind of magic number? If we lowered it to 45, even more people would be saved, okay? And what happened is that this, for me, became less an article about the national speed limit and more an article about this. Does the government have the right or the responsibility to step in and do what's right for us, even if we don't know what's right for us? On the podcast, we have talked about lots of things. New York City limiting the amount of salt in foods.
Right.
You know, just in general, we don't allow alcohol advertising in magazines or on television. Smoking is not allowed to advertise on television. All of these things are government interventions into all of this. Well, where do you draw that line, or can you even draw a line about it? And that's what I wanted to talk about tonight. What is a government's responsibility? Healthcare, to me, is something that's crossing over this line, or is it crossing over? Is straddling this line? Does the government have the responsibility of making sure that all of the citizens in the country are protected with health care, protected from fast cars, protected from cigarettes, protected from alcohol? So that's the topic, Max. What do you got?
Oh, I've got a lot on that.
Gee, I somehow knew yeah. That you would.
Yeah, I don't even know where to begin.
Well, let's begin with the cars. Let's start
there.
Yeah,
that's the part that I'm the least interested in.
Oh, okay. Well, that's because you get tickets.
But I like the discussion about what is the government's role in society. Mm-hmm. And to me, Lincoln put it best. A government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And I get irritated very quickly when I hear the term, original intent. So many Republicans, and this drives me nuts, in light of the last Supreme Court decision, which, you know, allowed the businesses to do whatever they want.
For political purposes, right?
Right. Yep. I think that, yes, it's fine, first of all. We've seen in other democracies, parliamentary democracies, representative democracies, all over the world, that the government, which is a representation of the people, as long as your government is freely elected, what they do is fine because the next round of elections could void it if they want to. And the people who created the government with our brilliant government document, the Constitution, you know, 225 years ago, whatever it was,
right.
It's ludicrous to say this is what the framers wanted. And even if you could imagine what the framers wanted in terms of a speed limit for a motor car, that doesn't mean that an educated framer – I've often thought about, you know, writing this story, particularly about Alexander Hamilton, of a time-traveling founding father. And what would he think if he were here? And you think Jefferson and Franklin would probably step right in. They're like, holy shit, look at this cool stuff.
Right. Or would they be flabbergasted at what the government has become?
Well, and that's why I always picked Alexander Hamilton.
Right.
Because he was I can't think of the term. It's not Federalist because that's actually kind of a counterintuitive term. But a strong national government guy. He was, you know, in favor of a Federal Reserve. A lot of people think the Federal Reserve, some of the wackier right-wing people, should be abolished. You know, but there's nothing in the Constitution that says we should have a Federal Reserve. There's nothing in the Constitution that says we should have an income tax. Income tax is a good idea. You must fund the government. You must have a government, or else you don't have a government. I mean, so the idea.
Right, you're Somalia.
Right.
If you don't have a government, you're Somalia.
Right, you have anarchy. And in the last 200 years, despite some atrocities and our original sin, as I think Obama, somebody called it, of slavery, been a lot of good things happened as a result of this Constitution and this country. A lot of bad things, ask the American Indians.
Right.
But overall, progress has happened. I'm going to go out on a limb and call it progress. As the 2,000-year-old man said, you know, the heart-lung machine, a pretty good thing. It's not liquid Prel, but it's a good thing.
Right. It's not sliced bread.
Right.
But, yeah, well, you know, what got me thinking about this is that I got into a Facebook discussion with a couple of, for lack of a better way of saying this, a couple of teabagging ultra-conservatives.
Libertarians online.
Right, about this healthcare situation.
Yeah.
And although I honestly thought that they were idiots,
yeah,
I thought that they raised a couple of interesting points.
Sure.
And then when I saw this article, it made even more sense to me because what this means is that if you find somebody who smokes,
right,
they're going to be against the government stepping in and limiting where you can smoke.
Right.
If you don't smoke, then you're going to be in favor of. You
right,
know?
Right.
It's real easy to be against health care reform if you have good health care.
Which most Americans do if you look at the 65% or whatever it is that have good health care.
Absolutely.
But
so that just led me to think,
what's the role of government?
What's the role of government? And just how do you decide how far you go? How do you decide that yes we should have health care?
Right.
You know, yes we should have this, yes we should have that. No, we shouldn't have this or that. In the discussion, one of the gentlemen referred to healthcare as, and I'm going to forget the word, and that's going to piss me off because I hate bringing up something like this and then forgetting the exact word.
And not having the exact word.
Right. But basically what he was saying was that it's not a responsibility, it's a privilege.
Yeah.
All right? And from my point of view, health care isn't a privilege. It's a responsibility. Everybody should have health care. He mentioned a thing about libraries. Why do we spend so much money on libraries to offer this free material? Well, because we need to guarantee that everybody has the right to learn about something.
And you and I are good with libraries, but the devil's advocate says, well, why do we need to guarantee that everybody will learn? And the answer is, in medieval times, when only the rich were educated, look what happened. Then you have, and I think it was Franklin who said, let's educate everybody. You have the United States, this great experiment in democracy, educates everybody. All of a sudden, people who were born the equivalent of peasants are coming up with stuff and going, hey, you know, heart-lung machine.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
There's no doubt that the opportunity for advancement has produced great things that benefit society, and that this form of government has provided more opportunity for advancement than any other form of government. I mean, clearly democracy beats Soviet communism. One of the great themes in Freakonomics is people do what they have an incentive to do. And in the Soviet Union, where your life is totally controlled, there's no incentive to work hard or to design a Lamborghini, because the Soviet car J or M or whatever will get you to your job, which you will do for the rest of your life with no hope.
Right.
I read an interesting article online. I'm telling you, the problem on the interweb tubes is libertarians. And
I know you've said that before, and you know, I kind of figured that that's where we might head with this.
Yeah. Well, so I read his article because I've always looked at government this way. Left-leaning political people say, keep the government out of my bedroom, put the government overlooking business. If you believe that, you're a lefty. If you think the government should be watching people's morals and staying the hell out of business, then you're a righty. And I think of this continuum as a circle. And if you think the government, if you go all the way around in both directions, you end up where the libertarians are, which is keep the government out of business, keep the government out of people's lives. And that sounds really good to some people.
Except it comes to a point, because you can't do without it.
Right.
You know, unless you want to condemn yourself to that sort of life. You know, when you think about it, if you want the government out, you can go off grid.
Yeah.
You can go off the grid and stuff, but you can't expect that you're going to get any of the other benefits.
Right, and a lot of people feel that's acceptable. They would rather be the Republic of Texas than Texans.
Well, you know, I always thought that when a state like Texas, or I know North Dakota talked about seceding.
North Dakota or North Carolina? South Carolina.
Well, I think North Carolina too. Yeah. One of those. I mean, several states have talked in one way or another about it. And I always thought that the best response would be
– go ahead.
For the president to stand up and say, I just wanted to let the rest of the country know that we have a request by the state of Texas to consider seceding from this. Right. And so in order to do that, here's what the government is going to do. No more money for roads.
Right.
No more money for education, no more money for Social Security, no more money for Medicaid, no more money for – and then just list all the things that the government is providing for them and say, good luck off the grid. You know, if you want to come back, you need to petition and ask our permission to come back, and we're going to put it to the vote of the other 49 states.
Well, And some people would say, yeah, that's a great deal. I've often thought about
until they tried to land their airplanes at the
airport,
you know, that was falling apart because there's no money for. I mean, you know,
well, maybe they would just succeed.
Right.
A large question.
Is that a pun there? Maybe they would succeed.
No. It's succeed, not succeed.
Okay.
It wasn't even any accidental humor. It wasn't intended. a classic question that I've pondered, and I don't know the answer, but I think great historians greater than myself certainly have pondered, is should Lincoln have just let the South go? Why not? In Canada, about 10 years ago, they had a referendum in Quebec. Do you want to be part of Canada or do you want to be Quebec? International institution. And by a very slim margin, the Quebecois decided that they'd still like to be part of Canada. I don't know the answer to this. I remember listening to George Will on This Week once, and he said with such disdain in his voice, if we don't keep these countries together, we're going to have ethnic self-determination. And my question was, what's wrong with that?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, we're taught to revere Lincoln. I think the United States is certainly greater with the South attached and with Texas attached and in all of its Texas Southishness. Should we have? I mean, a lot of people died. Imagine, I always think about World War II and how many people died and which one of them, millions of people, was the next Einstein. You know?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain, you know, citizen soldier, he managed to live, but in Gettysburg, barely survived. How many people didn't survive in how many wars? I just think war is such a waste generally. So, you know, I don't know. I think these are big questions. My answer to your question is, I guess, let the people decide. But my problem with the right wing today is, first of all, I don't think they know what's good for them. I mean, there are people who are in healthcare crises who are railing against the healthcare reform bill. And in my mind, that's just dumb.
Right.
A lot of people who don't have insurance are saying, you know, we don't want this insurance. And I think they're just jacked up, and I think some of it is just racism, frankly.
But the reality of that is that it's no dumber than somebody who smokes two packs a day, has lung cancer, and continues to smoke.
You mean there's more than one kind of idiot in America?
Absolutely.
You're right.
Absolutely.
And I'm probably the biggest one. I don't know. But I think that as long as you have a freely elected government, the government should do for the people. And if the government goes too far to the left, people will bring it back. I remember working at the pizza shop with a kid who was a history major before I was. And he said every 30 years or every 20 years, I never remembered exactly which it was, there's a pendulum shift in this country. Clearly the country went to the right under Ronald Reagan, 1980. As an example, by the year 2000, we've got – well, actually, it swung a little before that. Bill Clinton came in the 1990s, and it went back actually just toward the middle. What I wanted to get to was what this guy wrote, this libertarian, about libertarianism. And I thought he made a point that I'd never heard of before and is probably correct. As to left and right and how you define left and right,
mm-hmm.
originally – a liberal or a leftist anyway was somebody who did not believe in individual property ownership. And a righty was somebody who did believe in individual property ownership. And where you fell on that continuum was how left or right you were. And I suspect that originally that was the argument. In the turn of the century, 1900s, the 1920s, the early 20th century, liberalism, socialism was rampant around the world. There was a huge movement. Russia fell. There was a large number of lefties in Germany, in France. France became socialized to a large degree. And then it kind of swung back. Right. You know, I think around the world, actually, Hoover was a righty, you know, keep the government out of the people's lives. Roosevelt was a lefty, although Professor Sheffs would argue that Roosevelt was a conservative because he was just trying to preserve the Union. But that's like saying Lincoln was a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
It's what you want to preserve. Now, the thing is that center has moved over time decidedly to the left, I think. People
right.
talk about it's mm-hmm. a center-right country now. But it's a center-right country that believes in the Tennessee Valley Authority, believes in Medicaid, believes in Social Security. You know, people said Roosevelt was a socialist when we passed Social Security, when we passed Medicaid, which I didn't realize had happened as recently as the 1960s. You know, Johnson was going to give the country away to the communists. Mm-hmm. It has ever thus been. And so you get these right-wing people saying, keep your government hands off my Medicaid. But it's well established that we want to take care of our old people. We want roads. No less a right-wing person than Eisenhower built the federal road system. Most people are going to tell you that the interstate highway system is a good idea.
You would think so, yes.
And that's a lefty government action. And it's a lefty government action, wouldn't you say?
I agree.
It certainly helped business. I think the goalposts move.
Well, you know, I was just going to say, you know, there's a continuum of all
right.
of this. And some of it, you know, on one end is something that a lot of people can agree with. But the further along the continuum you go,
right.
and in some ways it's by how much money you spend doing it,
mm-hmm.
You have less and less people who are in favor of. You know, I think that people see in the healthcare crisis, the people see all this money that the government is throwing at,
right?
And they react strongly against that.
And the true fundamental conservatives, the true libertarians, are going to say, let's get rid of the Federal Reserve altogether. The Federal Reserve is propping up these banks. You know, clearly the government shouldn't be propping up car industries.
Right.
But on the other hand, how about these 700,000 jobs that are associated with the car industry? You know, right now, after the last election, the most recent full election, people were elected who thought it was a good idea to preserve those jobs. And you can say that's not a conservative issue. I might suggest that that's a conservative approach, that Obama's saving all of these car manufacturing jobs.
By saving the auto industry.
Right. Is that lefty? Yeah, probably is. But he's doing these things to preserve the union. I think that government spending at a time of national financial contraction is a really good idea. I think the balanced budget amendment, which got so much support just before the Republicans took over and managed to not come up with a balanced budget amendment. You remember the Contract on America?
Right, right.
Balanced budget amendment. Well, where is it? Term limits. Well, where are they? They were great issues, but they're gone now.
Right.
But I submit that the government should do something. The government action is a good thing.
So I guess it really comes down to defining what or how much the government should do.
Absolutely. That's where your left and right come in. And
right.
there's a guy, and I can never remember his name. I wish I could think of his name now. He's still around. He's been on TV. He had Reagan's ear, and it was his goal. He's a big businessman to crush government as much as he could. He's the one that came up with the idea that there's too much government. And they said it, and they said it, and they said it again to the point where you hear sort of rational, middle-of-the-road people like yourself or like Manhattan Man saying the government's too big and everybody just sort of reflexively agreeing with it. I submit that that's not necessarily true. The government should do a lot, but I'm a lefty. I think the government should do.
Right.
So, but yeah, I think it all comes down to what and how much you think the government should do. I think the government should ensure health care for everybody because we can. It's been proven in democracies all around the world. Everybody says, all these right-wing people say America has the greatest health care system in the world. It's simply not true.
Right.
Is there a possibility of government excess? Government misdeeds? Yeah, of course there is.
Of course there is. There always is.
And there's a cure for that. You know what it's called? An election.
Right.
Now, my concern is there a cure for corporate misdeeds? And that has me very, very concerned because I don't know what the answer to that is.
Well, I know what the answer is not.
What is?
The answer is not continually bailing them out for their mistakes that they make.
But
the auto industry, the banking industry are just two examples. There's lots more.
All right. And by laissez-faire capitalism, there's no doubt those companies should have gone under. They were poorly managed, and they failed. But we're talking about a huge wave of unemployment and mm-hmm. and the ripple impacts. I believe if we had bank collapses and we were hours away from massive bank failure, and that's what started the Great Depression. I believe we were hours away from a Great Depression, massive bank failure again. And this president and this government stepped in and turned this ship around lightning fast. Economies have momentum. And the fact that,
sure.
that we are now talking about a very tiny upturn in job growth is a suggestion of great success by the government.
Right.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Well, listen, I think this was a fascinating discussion, and I hope that you know that people who might give us a listen would maybe voice their opinion. I just encourage people to make comments on the podcast.
Absolutely.
Or send us an email. We'd love to hear what you have to say about it.
CSAPodcast@gmail.com. I'm sorry, CSAPodcast@gmail.com. Yeah, I want to hear what people have to say.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm sure a lot of people won't disagree with, or won't agree with me. In fact, I think because it's the interweb tubes, and there's this really fundamental libertarian trend to this. And I think about my friend Brian, and you know how much I love Brian.
Yep.
But Brian was given a complete free ride to a master's degree based on social spending. And then he ran into the internet, and he came up with all these libertarian voices. And he said, I think people should only have fire department protection if they choose to sign up for it.
Uh-huh.
Complete libertarianism. True libertarianism is anarchy. No
True.
Government.
I agree.
Everybody bundles together, and they pay for what they want. Now,
right.
to me, that's patently impracticable. You can't say, I'll have a fire department. You don't have to have one. So to me, it's only a question of what we agree the government should do, and we do that every time we elect a government.
So go out there and vote.
Oh, absolutely. And I think there's going to be a lot of people voting who disagree with me, and that's fine. As long as you go out there and vote, I'm willing to accept your government. You know, the second time that George Bush was president, George II, when his second election, I agree with. I think part of the problem going on in the country right now is that some people feel that Obama was not a legitimate president. The people on the left, the last time around, I know, felt that Bush was not a legitimate president, at least the first time. He got more votes the second
right.
time. And you know there would be screaming to the high hills if Al Gore had won the presidency but not the popular vote.
Right. Oh, sure. Well.
The idea is this is my government. Because the people spoke.
So go out there and vote and get your government in.
And then stop saying this is illegitimate.
I'm going to kill you.
Right. You know, suck it up, Tano. And that's a poor choice of words. I got that from Imus. Obviously, you know, if we're going to go to some fundamental sense of justice, we give the whole country back to the Indians, don't we?
Right. Sure. I think so.
So I take that back. I apologize. Don't worry about it. Oh, no. Yes. I don't.
Right.
I just meant suck it up. Generally, I'm getting myself in trouble now.
All right. Well, thank you, Max, for this good discussion. That was a lot of interesting and thought provoking ideas.
Well, you started right out on a point of passion of mine. So
yeah.
You got me started.
All right. Good night, Max.
Take it easy. The deep end.